Soup has a consistency of like a, it's like a sponge. It tastes like hard.
Hey, my baby bees, it's your girl Bee, and welcome back to another episode of Bee's Celebrity Truth or Dare. Okay, today we're going to be diving into the crazy journey of Mario Adrian, who went from being bullied in a teeny tiny little German town to walking runways in New York City to going viral on American Idol. You're going to want to buckle up because this one's part dare, part therapy, and all Mario. So sit back, relax, because you work too hard not to, grab yourself a snack, and enjoy the show. Okay, welcome Mario.
Hello.
You know what? I feel like your aesthetic reminds me a lot of like, you know, Jim Carrey from.
Oh, I hear that a lot.
Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
People young give me that. Jim Carrey. I love it.
I'll take it. My wife dresses me. She's a fashion stylist.
Is she really?
Yeah. So she always dresses me. She's like, or when I go outside and I'm going to an appearance or a show, she's like, "Is that what you're wearing?" So she low-key bullies me with that, but
God, I wish I had a fashion stylist. Like, that is like a gift. It's like giving like European Jim Carrey.
I love that European Jim Carrey. That's a good comp. Yeah, I was afraid with comedy at first that I looked too much like a douchebag, so I was trying to pull away from looking too dressed up. But my wife told me, just embrace it. Just be a douche. And I'm like, I'm Euro douche.
I don't get Euro douche from you at all. I don't see that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's so funny because like Jim Carrey, I'm a Canadian. Mm-hmm. And Jim Carrey is Canadian as well.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, like when you come to America, like the differences, and even for us Canadians, mm-hmm. like pronouncing certain words, there's a few different things. Like we have like, okay, different pronunciation, but also different words for things too, which you would never think because we speak English.
Yeah.
And there was one thing that came up, you know, like the garbage disposal thing in your sink?
Oh, yeah.
We call it a garburator.
Garburator?
Yeah.
It sounds like the Terminator. I love that. The garburator.
The garburator. Yeah. And it's like, it's a British thing. We have like more of like an English influence in Canada.
Well, same for us. Like I learned British English in school.
Okay, yeah.
But then I watched How I Met Your Mother. That's how I learned English.
What?
Was by watching American TV shows. And then I picked up more of an American accent. When I first started speaking English, I sounded like Sherlock Holmes.
Oh,
it was very much
God,
British.
You're British. So how old were you when you learned English?
We started learning English when I was 12 years old in school.
What? Yeah. I'm impressed.
You have to. I mean, it's in Europe. Nobody speaks German. I can't go like around the world and expect people to know my language. It's also a really messed up language. Nobody wants to know it. So yeah, we have to learn English, and then I learned French in school. Because my hometown is close to the French border, so we had to learn French.
Yeah.
You too, I assume, with Canada?
With Canada, yeah. I was in what they call French immersion.
Okay.
And I started learning it in kindergarten, and I was actually really good at it, but my home life, like we never spoke French, and then when I leave school, like I pretty much lost it, but I feel like I could pick it up. But I was almost fluent at one point.
Same.
But it was like Quebecois French. It wasn't as like bougie as like European
Parisian
French. Ooh. Yeah, yeah. Wah, you know.
Just the French always do the shrug des shoulders.
That's crazy. So, okay, I have a lot that we want to cover today.
Okay.
And one thing that I was wrestling with today was to pronounce your small town name. Yeah. I rehearsed it to the best I could and I just couldn't get it. So I'm going to get you to walk me through it.
Okay.
To see if we can pronounce.
Yeah.
To get the pronunciation down.
So you know how it's spelled?
Oh, I have the spelling here, but it doesn't sound how it looks.
Okay. Should I say one time?
You're going to have to say it a few times.
Okay. Let's just try. Let's see how it goes.
Okay.
So my hometown is a cute town in Germany called Eipisbach im Hochschwarzwald. That sounds horrible. That was pretty bad. That was like a tape you play backwards. It was a
Okay, hang on.
Wow.
Hang on a minute. Okay, so let's go. Let's do syllable by syllable here.
So
al.
Pir. Okay, pir, but it's a r, you know? Because you're doing it like with, your R is almost like a Spanish, like a r, you know?
Okay.
It's like a r.
So it's a r.
That was great. Perfect.
Alpir.
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 Alpir Spach.
Spach.
Yeah, Spach. And Spach. The r is also like, it's like a Spanish J, like a jota. It's like back in the throat.
Okay.
Almost like you're gargling, Like when you brush your teeth and you're like gargling, like Alpirsbach.
Alpirsbach.
Yeah, Alpirsbach.
Alpirsbach.
That's good. That's good. Alpirsbach. And in general, I would say a note is just a bit more aggression.
Okay.
Just okay. A bit more like
Alpirsbach.
That's good. See, a little more even.
Okay. Alpirsbach.
Exactly. A little bit more mad. See, there we go. You're almost German right now. I love it. And then, so that's the first part. You're about 40% through now.
Oh.
Alpirsbach is the first part, and then im Hochschwarzwald.
Im Hochschwarzbach.
Not bad. So it's, let's break it down. Im Hoch. Hoch is
hoch.
Like exactly. And then Schwarz.
Schwarz.
Schwarz means black, by the way. Schwarz.
Schwarz.
And then Wald.
Wald.
Okay, so Hoch, Schwarz, Wald.
Hoch, Schwarz, Wald.
Exactly.
I don't think and you almost, I can
and you almost, and you're almost questioning it a little bit when you said, you're like, Hoch, Schwarz. No. Determination, anger, right?
Okay, yes.
Hoch, Schwarz, Wald.
Germans never question anything.
No.
It's determination and focus. 100%. And you guys like mean what you say.
Yeah.
So, okay, I have to carry that through.
Yeah.
I can't let my self-doubt come through.
Yeah. And you met, say it almost like somebody cut you off in traffic in the 405.
Okay.
So that's the energy you need. A little bit of anger. Like you're yelling it at somebody.
Oh,
you know?
Oh.
Alpirsbach im Hochschwarzwald.
I still feel like I can't get it. Okay,
it's simple. What's the big deal? It's like Alpirsbach im Hochschwarzwald. Alpirsbach. Im Hochschwarzwald.
It's too long. It's too long. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Alpirsbach.
You just let all the Germans down. If any Germans are watching this, they are very disappointed, but it's okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I actually have so much
language.
Respect for people who speak very complicated languages.
Yeah.
Like that are hard to learn, like Mandarin, Russian.
Oh, yeah.
I think
yeah.
German, I feel like I could kind of learn it because I know French.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, French is a similar. They have the it's similar R.
Yeah, the back of the throat.
You know, the back of the throat. Yeah. But it's a Germanic language. It's more similar to English, actually.
Hus, good morgen.
Guten Morgen, yep.
Yeah, good morning.
Uh-huh.
Nine? Is it nine or nine?
Yeah. Nine.
Nine.
Mm-hmm. Nine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nine. Yes.
So any...
Yeah. So, speaking of small towns,
yeah,
what was that like growing up in a teeny tiny little German town? What was that? What was life like for you?
Very idyllic, right? It's almost like a utopia in a way where I didn't see any crime growing up. Everybody's a lumberjack, and like my uncles are all lumberjacks. My mom is also a lumberjack, by the way. Well, kind of. She makes like Christmas decorations. So she goes, right now she has a market going on, like a fall market, where she goes to the woods, she chops down trees, not full trees, but like sometimes she does for like wood for the fireplace.
Yeah.
But she makes these wreaths for Christmas. Do you have them here? It's like a Christmas wreath. It's
you
put four candles.
But we get them from Target.
Exactly. Right. You do the American way. Exactly. Yeah. My mom is the Target. She is the one providing the Christmas wreaths. So I grew up in a very wholesome way. I was helping my mom like chomp down the trees, helping my uncles in the fields and stuff like that. So it's kind of funny when people like ask about my hometown and now I live in Los Angeles, living such a different life from what I grew up with. It's kind of insane. Yeah.
So is your small town, does it look like those like really nice like background screensaver photos with the rolling hills and the little homes and the mountains and the forests?
Kind of like the Hobbit. You know, what's an example? It's called the Black Forest. It's close to Switzerland and France.
Wow.
It's a town of like 1,000 people. And that's where the cuckoo clocks come from. Do you know the cuckoo clocks?
Yes.
Yeah, and the Black Forest cake. So it's super wholesome.
I love Black Forest cake.
Exactly. So my aunt, you love this. My aunt, she has a pastry chef. And she has a cafe in my hometown. Alpirsbach im Hochschwarzwald. And she won an award for the best Black Forest cake in Germany.
Did she in all of Germany?
Yeah, in 2016. But then since then, she lost her game a little bit. She didn't win since. But 2016, she was in her prime.
Wow.
She was on top of the game. The Black Forest cake game.
It's competitive over there.
I think so, yeah.
Now I want to go.
Depending on what you're into. I mean, my hometown is cute. If you like skiing, if you like nature and stuff like that, it's cool. But it can be a little boring because there's not much to do.
Yeah.
Right? Even in terms of what's interesting in terms of like people doing entertainment or comedy. There's nothing. There's not even a pathway. Everybody's an engineer or a lumberjack. All my friends just study engineering. That's kind of like there's only one career path you can have. Probably similar to small towns in America. There's not really like this plethora of opportunities.
Yeah.
But it's very cute. It's a beautiful place to grow up. I was very glad I grew up there.
Yeah, because of like the local industry and like what opportunities
you have. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, Canada is like that too. There's like certain small towns where it's like you're going to work on an oil rig. Like it's just like there's a certain like path, or you're going to go into forestry. Like it's just like it's just kind of laid out for you.
But also in general, I think having a dream, pursuing a dream is not something Germans celebrate. Mm-hmm. I love Germany, but that's one thing I would say is a bit, it almost holds you back. Mm-hmm. Once you break out of the expectations of other people, you're almost being punished or judged for it. Whereas in America, it's like, you have a dream, go for it, become a millionaire, do this. It's almost the other extreme is the United States. And that's one of the biggest differences I could tell from moving from Eisbach im Hochschwarzwald to Los Angeles.
So people are very practical in Germany. They're like, go do something that we know that you can do.
100%.
You're not going to waste your time.
Yeah, yeah.
What does your family think about your whole like modeling and comedy career? Like, what are their thoughts on all that?
Interestingly enough, my family were never, they never put a lot of pressure on me with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I also was raised super independent. Okay. That's one thing I think that's a big difference. Germans, we do not protect our kids too much. Like I went to France on a student exchange when I was 13 years old for like 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Living with a different family. When I was 15, I went to Peru in South America for 1 year. And I think most American parents wouldn't let their kids travel at a young age.
You're probably not protecting
a little bit more.
Yeah.
And Germany specifically, I can't speak for the rest of Europe. I think Italians are also more protective over their kids. Mm-hmm. But German moms are like a little more rough. They're like, do whatever. You're going to fail, but you're going to learn from it.
You're going to learn fast.
Yeah, they're not going to tell you what to do, really. At least there's differences, but I think that's a general vibe that German moms want to... The biggest value my mom wanted to instill in me is independence. Mm-hmm. And she did that.
Wow. Yeah. That's cool. My mom's like that, too. My mom's like... is an immigrant, so she very much had that independence and, you know, find your own path type of thing.
Yeah.
So what was school life for you like in Germany?
I love school. I did very well in school.
Oh, nice.
I was pretty smart, but then when I was 19, I realized that I was too hot to be educated. And then I got into modeling. Yeah. I was like, can't do it anymore.
So if you weren't hot, would you become an engineer? Is that
probably? I loved engineering. Yeah. I studied chemical engineering.
Oh wow!
And I was a bit of a nerd. I loved it. I went to math competitions, stuff like that. Like I love that kind of stuff. And it's so funny because now I'm so far removed from that, but I still
such
love it.
A different world.
Yeah. Sometimes, I met this guy recently in LA, and most people you meet here, they're like comedians or actors, things like that, entertainment. I met this guy. He's an engineer for NASA. And I nerded out with this guy, and I loved it. I was like, wow, this could have been me. And I was like, I felt like this moment, I was like, in another life.
Yes!
I could have been an engineer, you know? But yeah.
Such a different world. Oh my God. Okay, so you got scouted for modeling. Were you 18 or 19 when that happened?
I don't remember. I think 18, 19 was like the transition phase. Okay. I think it was after finishing high school. So probably 18, 19. And it was funny because I posted a photo on Facebook, and it was a photo of me at a swimming pool, and I had like abs. And I was maybe 17, and then I posted the photo, and it was reposted on Facebook to a Facebook group called Hunky Gay Germans.
Oh!
And I was like, I made it, dude. I'm one of the Hunky Gay Germans. And then a modeling scout from New York reached out to me and was like, hey, gorgeous, eggplant emoji, water emoji. You know?
What?
Yeah, he was like, you should come to New York and be a model. And he invited me to come to New York. He was like, P.S., you can stay with me at my place in Harlem. And
okay, wait, did you think that was like a scam at first, like some type of sex trafficking ring? Like just the
see
way-
that's where the upbringing of Eisbach im Hochschwarzwald comes in.
Okay,
because say what you want about Eisbach im Hochschwarzwald, it is a very wholesome town and there's no crime. I mean, essentially not, right? So I grew up with so much trust. I grew up with this eternal optimism that everything's gonna work out, because it does. In my hometown, nothing bad happens. We can leave our doors open. Mm-hmm. Right? So I was not exposed to bad people or to this fear of other people. So I was like, sure, everybody has my best interest at heart. Yeah. I was just that kid.
Wow.
I was very innocent, I would say that.
Yeah.
And went to New York. And also, for the most part, it worked out for me. You know, I traveled when I was 15, went to Peru for 1 year, mm-hmm. which is kind of wild. But it worked out. I learned so much from the experience, learned to speak Spanish. And then, I was like, I want to travel the world. So I went there. I went to New York.
Right. So that wasn't your first time away from home. So you felt a little bit more confident going 100%. Into that.
So before that, after high school, I spent about 9-10 months in New Zealand. okay. backpacking. A lot of Germans do this. This is an example, right? Germans, we travel a lot. Because also, geographically, it's easier for us. Because France, from my hometown, you can drive to France in 40 minutes.
Really?
You can drive to Switzerland in like 30 minutes. Oh. You can drive to Holland in like 3 hours. So everything is super close.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, we're exposed to traveling at a younger age. Mm-hmm. So then when that happened and this guy asked me, I was like, cool, I get to see the United States of America. I've never been to the US before. So I went there. I had like no money. I remember I had like maybe $500 left in my bank account. And went to New York and met up with this dude.
Did he pay for your flight and like
Nothing.
Set you up? Okay,
Nothing.
So you had to get there.
I had to get there, but I could stay at his place for free.
Okay.
So he was actually a modeling scout. It was not a complete scam. But it was weird because I got to his place and I land in, you know, I remember I took I landed at JFK, took the train to Times Square. And that was crazy for me because I'd never been to a big city like that.
Yeah.
Right, I go from a hometown of 1,000 people to like Times Square, which is the craziest place in the
yeah.
world. And then I was like, cool, this is New York. And then I had to take the train and then like all the way up Harlem, then like 150th Street. One, it was like all the way up somewhere in Harlem. And then, stayed at this guy's place. And he almost became my modeling mentor. He was like my Mr. Miyagi.
Yes.
And I was Karate
yes.
Kid.
Yes.
And listen, when you don't know modeling and you don't have any experience of how the industry works, whatever people confront you with, you just think that's normal. Because
mm-hmm.
I have no guidance. I have no agency at that point. Mm-hmm. I have no point of contact. Nobody who can tell me about how this works.
Yeah.
So he was like, okay, I'm going to teach you some modeling stuff. So he was like, I was in this apartment in my underwear and doing poses, like yeah. modeling poses. And then he was like, okay, now walk the catwalk. So I had to like, you know, walk down his like studio apartments. This is like, you know, 600 square feet.
Yeah.
And I had to like walk up and down and he would coach me on my runway skills. So he
okay.
became like my modeling mentor in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, he told me one thing. It was like, he said, you gotta have the energy of an urban lion, but flow like water at the same time.
I yeah. love it.
Like that he would drop. And he was very sweet. And he was not, I mean, he was a little weird because of all the modeling stuff, but yeah. Connected me with some photographers, did some test shoots, had my first photo shoots, professional photo shoots. And yeah, that's how I got into modeling.
And then you got signed.
Then I got signed by an agency. Yep, in Germany first. And then started traveling, went to Singapore for modeling to like build my portfolio. And then
wow.
went back to New York and did the whole like Fashion Week stuff in New York, which was a cool experience. We can get into like the not so cool things, but on a baseline, I will say I'm very grateful for modeling because I always knew it was not going to be a career, like long term. First
yeah.
of all, as men, I want to say this right now, there's a pay gap in modeling because women make about 3 times more than men for the same jobs. It's messed up and we need to talk about it.
I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, I think it's the one industry in the world where men are underpaid.
But the other way around.
It is true, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I should have stayed in engineering maybe. but yeah. And I always knew it was not going to be a career, but I got to travel the world. Went to like Singapore, Australia, did jobs in South Korea. I lived in Korea for 3 months. Like, how else would I have done that, right? Living in a place like Seoul,
yeah,
South Korea, so random for modeling. I did a lot of golf jobs and K-pop music videos in Korea. So I love the experience of traveling the world. That was my favorite part of modeling, yeah.
That's crazy. So they pay for everything, like your flight, your hotel, or do you have to cover some of it and then like budget it in? Like, how does that work?
Well, if you have a job, right? So if I get booked for a job specifically, for example, if whatever, Banana Republic books me for a campaign in New York, yeah, they'll fly me in. They put me up in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these jobs, it's like you have a contract. So you got to stay for 3 months in Korea and you're going to, or New York, say, right? For Fashion Week, I stay there for 3 months. And then they put you up in a model apartment, which you got to pay for. So they deduct it from your paycheck. And here's the thing that's a little messed up about modeling. They put me up in a model apartment with like, during Fashion Week, 7 guys were sharing one bathroom.
Ugh.
In like a tiny house in Brooklyn, in Williamsburg, in New York. And it was like bunk beds. So you think it's like a glamorous lifestyle where,
oh my God,
you're going to be at America's Next Top Model and all these shows, there's like a model villa.
Yeah.
So you think that's the world you live in? No. It's really messed up.
Your
and it's
bunk
very
bed.
Dirty bunk bed. Yeah. It's like jail. But they still, and that's just the messed up part. Even though you have a bunk bed and there's like, they put a mattress in the room I was in. So it's like, I think there was 5 guys staying in one room. Room. Okay. There's like two, there's a house, like I think maybe three rooms and each one had like, there was upstairs and then downstairs, like, you know, maybe 7 of us sharing a bathroom, and they still charge you like $1,000 at that time for
what?
A bunk bed. spot. So that's a little messed up, but that's the life, right? It's very stressful and yeah, it's wild. Just seven dudes.
So yeah. Agencies could technically, if they're a little shady, they could scam models by overcharging
1,000%.
On the travel expenses and all the housing, and then you're left with nothing pretty much, or a very tiny paycheck.
Yeah, because modeling agencies, at least even if you, there's not much risk for them because they're going to put you up in these apartments.
Yeah.
They just rent the whole house. Say the house is like maybe $4,000, but then they put 10 guys up in there, charge each of them $1,000, so they make 10 grand. So it's almost like, and then they charge you on things like being on the website. So most models, and this is like a big, I think, misconception about modeling. Most models who go to Milan Fashion Week, specifically Milan, lose money.
So it's like a work expense type of thing, like for exposure. Like it's just like going to be a business loss.
It's almost like a business loss where the agencies, they sign a lot of people and they count on like, they have like probably two models who book the big campaigns and make a lot of money. And then the rest of guys who are just kind of break it even. But then they make money also because of the accommodation, stuff like that.
Wow. Yeah.
This is for men. For women, it's a little better, but still. But for women, it's also more competitive. So, you know, there's ups and downs. Yeah.
Yeah. So weren't you... Didn't you go through like some type of like bullying when you were a kid? Did any of those like bullies find out you got into modeling?
Yeah, you know when I say bullying, it's funny because the person bullying me was actually my mom.
Oh, she that does happen.
No, I'm kidding. No, my mom is a little. She was always making fun of me a little bit. I was bullied, yeah, but I remember one person specifically that not bullied me, but always made fun of me was one of my uncle's friends, and he's a lumberjack guy. And what I always, this kind of messed up my body dysmorphia issues a little bit because he was always making fun of me saying that I'm so skinny and that I should, he was like, hey, muss man paar mehr Feschpa esse, which means, hey, you got to eat a little bit more, right? Because you're so skinny. You're like a little Lauch, which means a leek, right?
A leek.
He called me a leek. A leek, you know, vegetable. Because that's a German thing. We say a leek for somebody who's, you know, very skinny. Or we call him a Waschlappen, which is a washing cloth.
Oh,
which is like a term for somebody who's a loser basically and like weak.
Oh my god.
It's so crazy. This guy told me this, made fun of me, but probably didn't think it was going to affect me in any kind of way. It like, once I heard that, I had this desire to just be accepted by all these lumberjacks. So I started working out. I got into bodybuilding. I started watching my diet and I really got into, like, I ate so clean. I worked out really hard. So that's almost what got me into modeling. Because I built abs and like had this physique because I basically got body shamed by my uncle's friend. and then I got into modeling and stuff like that. He probably doesn't even know that this affected me, but this is like a big kind of moment for me. It's kind of silly how these small moments had a big effect on me.
Yeah. It almost like rewired your brain in a way, like how you viewed yourself. And
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to be accepted by this, by this guy and... But in a way, it worked out because that got me into modeling. But then ironically, I built a lot of like muscle mass.
Yeah.
But then in modeling, my agency told me I have to lose weight.
Oh,
because
they want you like lean
skinny,
and skinny.
Skinny.
Skinty.
Skinny. Yeah. Like, what's it called? Heroin chic was a big thing. You know?
I heard about that.
Like
very hollow.
Very hollow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not healthy. It's not healthy at all. I remember in Milan. My agent told me my insecurity was I had a little bad baby fat on my face. And that was like a bit of an insecurity when I was younger, especially modeling, because you got to be like, you know, have this chiseled face and stuff like that. And then my agent in Milan, again, they treat you like a number a little bit in modeling, especially in Milan. Milan is probably the worst place I ever modeled in because there's not, maybe it's the language too. I want to give them a benefit of the doubt, but they just see you as a number, not as a person. So before Fashion Week, you do digital, so they take photos of you in your underwear and just like how you naturally look without makeup or anything.
Yeah.
And then I remember this guy looked at me, my modeling agent, and he was like, Mario, your body look okay, but your face look like a chubby baby.
Oh my God.
And I was like, Jesus Lord. So
that make my heart stop.
Yeah. And he just told me that, right? And then, I was like, and you can't do much about it. It's just genetic. Because I look very, I have very low body fat. Yeah. But then I like try to like eat even less and like really get into this whole thing of like, okay, I got to like, I had like a cigarette and coffee espresso diet essentially.
Oh,
and lost a lot of weight. I'm like 215 pounds now. At that time, I was probably like, I do kilograms, so but I was probably like 180 or something.
Whoa.
So like way lighter. And then I remember I was so skinny, and then I went to all the castings for Fashion Week, but then my grandma passed away.
Oh my God.
So then I left Fashion Week because I wanted to attend the funeral. So I went back to the funeral. I remember how my family looked at me and they were like, "Are you okay?" Because I was so skinny.
Yeah.
And that's the point where I was like, okay, I'm not going to sacrifice how I look for a job. I don't want to like mold myself into the modeling industry. I'm just going to look how I look. Mm-hmm. If I book a job, it's great. Mm-hmm. But if not, it's also fine. So that was the transition when I was like, okay, it's too much.
Yeah, and that was probably like early days when you were first thinking, okay, I feel like I might want to do something else. That fueled your want to get into comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you did this whole American Idol audition, and uh-huh. you were like a combination, of course, like you're like the model with the Speedo and the abs and all that, but you were hilarious.
Thank you. Yeah.
Was that kind of like the merging of like the two worlds where you're like the model but still like going into comedy, and then you realize like I can actually do this?
Mm-hmm. 100%. That was the I early on realized that modeling is very limiting creatively because all you can do is look hot.
Yeah.
Like all you can do is like, you know, put on your blue steel look.
Yeah.
And I started YouTube. I made YouTube videos, like documenting this stuff. And I was like, okay, comedy is something that I feel very drawn to.
Yeah.
And then when the American Idol thing came up and the casting director had reached out to me about this, I thought, okay, I can't sing, by the way. I'm a very bad singer.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I got to do something funny.
Yeah.
And my brand at the time was I was a hot model, but also I wanted to do comedy. So I figured to blend the two would be to go out there in a Speedo. And I had this whole narrative where I was like, you know, I'm a model, but I want to be taken seriously as an artist. So I'm going to sing, and I don't want to be objectified anymore. And that's why I'm showing up here in a Speedo.
Yeah.
It was a big contradiction. It was like very Zoolander.
Yes,
you know Zoolander?
Yes.
Zoolander was a big inspiration for that for sure. Yeah. But it was super fun. I loved it.
It was so good. It was a pivotal moment. That was everything. Yeah.
And it made me realize, because most people like then, they saw that clip with like Katy Perry and she challenged me to a catwalk battle.
Yeah.
And it was all improv. This is not planned, by the way. And it just made me realize, cool, people really liked that and it was fun and I had a lot of fun, which is the most important part, and felt authentic. I think that's the biggest part, is once it felt authentic, because modeling didn't feel authentic. I loved the traveling. I love meeting people. I love meeting photographers, meeting some of my best friends through fashion, but it's not something I was passionate about. Fashion was never something that I felt drawn towards. But when I was doing the catwalk with Katy Perry, I was like, this is so silly.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's bold. And I love the comments, because they were like, the comments were not, oh my God, this guy is so hot. It was more like, he's so funny.
Yes.
And that gave me much more than looking good.
Yeah, all the surfacey stuff. Like, people actually acknowledged you and liked you for you. For the personality, rather than for...
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
With this whole, like, American Idol thing, I think we can draw a little bit of inspiration. We're going to have a little fun today.
Okay.
After we do our Game of Truth or Dare, by the way, I would think I'd like to do a little bit of a catwalk dance in the hallway. I think that'd be amazing.
Yeah, so let's still got it. Yeah,
I think you still got it. I don't think you're ever going to lose that. So what we're going to do is we're going to start off with... we're going to ease into it. And we're going to do a little game here. We're going to say, we're going to start with now you see me, now you don't.
Okay.
So this is an eye shut portrait challenge.
Oh, wow.
So here's how it works. We get 60 seconds to draw a portrait of the other person with our eyes completely shut. I'm going to try not to get Sharpie
while
my
we're drawing
pants.
Eyes closed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I was going to do blindfolds, but I didn't want to mess up my makeup. I didn't want to mess up your hair. All that. So no peeking, no erasing, no excuses, just pure art chaos. When the timer is up, we are going to reveal our masterpieces to each other and to the audience. So I have a sketch pad for you here.
Okay.
And we're going to swap them and trade afterwards. I have some drawings from other guests, but they didn't have their eyes closed.
Oh,
so we're upping the ante on this one. So
wow.
Here you go.
Okay.
And then I'm going to give you a marker.
Are you a good artist? Was that something you look like you'd be good?
Thanks. No, I'm okay. I definitely have a little bit of a style. It's like kind of character-y art.
Okay.
But you know what? I like it when when it gets messy. And you know what? We're going to do it with our eyes closed. Okay. So the bar is way down.
Okay.
Low.
I can only draw cars. I'm good at drawing cars.
So. Oh, see, that's the engineer.
That's the German thing. Your portrait might just be a car. Muscle memory might just kick in. It might just be a Mercedes-Benz, you know?
Just do a car with an afro.
Okay.
Okay. So, all right. You timing us? Okay.
Well, and let me have a look. Okay.
A look.
Okay.
And
okay.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. This is going to be really hard.
Okay. I don't trust this process at all.
Your eye might be next to your face, actually. This might be...
Oh, my God.
I think this would be better if we did, like, one string instead of...
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Okay. I'm just... trying to...
What am I forgetting? Oh, God.
And then the problem is that when you lift off the page, then you don't know where you're drawing anymore. I don't know what else to draw. I feel like I got it all. I probably don't. All right, let me try. I'm going to just show the audience quickly and just be like, all right, this is what we have going on so far. You don't have your eyes open, do you, Mario?
No, my eyes are closed.
Good.
The whole time. But like, I don't even know. This might be... I don't know if I'm riding it on your chin or on your torso.
I don't know either. Okay, I feel like I'm done. I don't know what else to do. Okay.
I think I got the nose. I'm not sure if I do, though. Okay.
All right.
Do you want to reveal this?
Let's do the reveal. Eric, are we all out of time? Markers down. Oh, my God.
Okay. Okay, should we show this?
Okay, you show yours first.
Okay. I'm actually surprised.
Oh my God, look at that arm. It's like a gimpy. No hand.
I'm actually surprised that I got your...
Oh my God.
Because the hair, I drew it without knowing. I'm actually very surprised I got your hair. Because I did the hair last. I'm very surprised I actually got your hair.
You got it.
Around your head. I thought your hair was going to be way off to the side.
Oh my God. You got to show that again. Okay. The one eye that is like up. And then the other eye and you got a really good nose too. You know what? It's kind of like a Picasso.
It gives Picasso, right? This part here is giving Picasso for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm very impressed by I think I crushed it. I think this was amazing.
Let's call it Bam Bam or something. Bam Bam. Okay. So. This
wow.
Is
very abstract. I love the puckering lips. It looks like I'm doing a blue steel. This is great.
Whole torso is attached to your head.
Wow.
And eyes. I tried doing your hair, but it didn't make it on your head. And then the eyebrows and the mouth and the nose. And the decapitated heads.
But so let me reenact it. It looks like I'm just like...
You know what? You know what? I think you won this one because the head is actually attached to the body. So that's a big plus. So we're going to put your drawing on the on the gallery, the worthy gallery or gallery worthy portrait.
This is so funny.
And mine's going
to... No, yours, there's some deeper meaning to this.
There's probably a story behind this.
100%,
There's a deeper meaning.
I feel like my chakra's not aligned. You know what I'm saying?
The heart chakra is not aligned with like the mind. Mm-hmm, yeah, there's something going on here for that. Yeah, he feels torn.
Wow. Yeah.
So good. All right, what we're going to do is I want to get you to autograph that.
Yes.
We're going to swap and I'm going to hang that up and that's going to be forever. Oh, I love that signature, that autograph. So good. This is going to be yours
to take home.
You get to keep the whole thing.
I appreciate that.
I don't know if you like to draw or anything, but that's going to be yours. So.
Thank you.
Yes.
Amazing.
All right, let's get into our game of truth or dare.
All right, truth or dare.
So, truth or dare?
Oh, right. That's how it works. Truth.
Truth. Okay, cool. All right. So, what's the biggest thing you've had to give up? Either it could be a friendship, relationship, or part of yourself to chase this career?
Oof, part of myself, that's wild. Mm. Well, I would say relationship for sure. When I was modeling, like there was one girl I was seeing and I was in love with, but the fact that I was traveling so much made it extremely difficult. Like I would travel every 3 months, I go to a different place.
Yeah.
So for sure relationships. Because then one time I did fall in love with a girl in New York, and then she was also modeling, and she had to leave for a job. She's from Argentina, and it broke my heart.
Yeah.
So then after that, I was like, okay, I'm just going to focus on work and work and not do any like relationship stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was basically single. I thought I was going to be single forever,
mm-hmm.
right? And distance myself from all of that. Besides, like, I also like wasn't really into any intimacy stuff with what we hinted at with the modeling. Some sexual harassment happened, so then I kind of like distanced myself from all kind of intimacy. But also, yeah, because you had to travel so much, I had to sacrifice relationships for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was a lonely cowboy with 8 dudes in a model apartment.
Oh!
And then once I stopped modeling, I then moved to LA 5 years ago, and then I met my wife, and then, you know, that nice. Changed. But yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like that. Like, I've heard of that. Like, with modeling, it's mm-hmm. a bit of a single life just because you're just moving around so much.
Very
you can
hard.
Be dating other models, and they leave, and they go back to their hometown, and it's a whole thing. Yeah.
Not even relationships, even friendships, I feel like.
Because
friendships are also tough, because I had a lot of acquaintances. So many people I meet, but not really any. There's nobody I called or FaceTime ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just that. It's a bit of a surface level industry. I met a lot of cool people, but there's not really that time to really, because you're all leaving. Every person, every model I meet in Korea, they're on a contract. We're all contracts for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I only meet them at the end of their contracts. We're like 4 weeks together. So I met so many people, but you gotta become very good at building bonds very quickly, but then also being cool with letting go.
Yeah.
And
that can get tricky when it comes to love.
Sure. Oh, love is even harder. Yeah. Friendship is easier maybe, but still then it's hard to have consistency with relationships. Yeah.
Yeah. So you feel like you're probably in a place now where you can actually have like a grounded life, share it with a person, maybe start a family. Are you guys thinking of that?
Yeah. Right now we're in the process. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Uh-huh. Congrats.
Yeah. After the what? Yeah. It's a big conversation right now. The only thing that's tough with that is that, I mean, modeling was tougher, but now I do comedy, which is also not a career where you have a lot of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
I do have an apartment now. For 7 years while I was modeling, I didn't have an apartment anywhere. Mm-hmm. I was literally living out of a suitcase for 7 years.
Yeah.
I was like 3 months in Milan, 3 months in Korea, 3 months in New York, 3 months in LA. So now I have an apartment, but I still leave all. I'm going to Detroit.
What?
And then I'm on tour for 10 days. Then I come back for like 4 days. And then I go again for like 6 days.
Wow.
So it's a very travel intensive lifestyle.
But
at least I have a home base in LA to come back to with like my wife and my dog and our cat. And I said the cat last, which is not like, but yeah, I guess. And so there's more consistency now while still traveling.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because like The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, he talked about this and like his first marriage, he was having some problems because he was away for like months and months and months and months on end, like on a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got like, you know, a new wife, he's got a family. But he's like, the way he goes about it, he's like, if I'm going to be doing a movie in New Zealand, like we're all going.
You know,
it's not like just 10 days here and there. This is like 6 months, 7 months, 8 months.
These are big projects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, everyone's coming. This is a family unit. This is all a part of like the whole career thing. We're all on the same page. We're all a team. And that's like honestly like the key to saving like his marriage and maintaining a good 100%. Relationship is like that constant connection.
Yeah. It's important. We made a rule now where I can't be gone for 2 weeks is like the absolute max.
Yeah.
I think 10 days. I think leaving a little bit in a relationship, being apart is healthy.
A little bit, yeah,
right?
little pockets.
100%.
Yeah,
I think being away for like 5 days, it's nice because you both live life, you come back, you miss each other. I think that's wonderful. But once it becomes more than that, it's tricky. So I can really relate to The Rock.
Yeah.
Him and I probably have the same life.
Yeah, totally identical.
Yeah.
You know, muscles and things.
They call me the German Rock.
Yeah,
that's what they say.
I feel like you're more like a young Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'll take that.
I think you could be his son. Like you could literally play. You look more like him than his actual son.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
I see that actually. No, people told me this. Yeah. The face. He's a little bit more buff, obviously, but
the face.
When I was lumberjacking, I was closer to Arnold, you know?
Arnold 2.0.
Big pecs.
Little wiggle, little jiggle.
Okay, cool.
So, truth or dare?
Oh, cool. Let's do dare.
We are going to go head to head in the game of Tell Me Without Telling Me. We'll take turns pulling cards, and in 60 seconds, we have to get the other person to guess as many words or phrases as possible without ever saying the word itself. It's pretty much like charades.
Okay.
Except we're not going to just like mime it. We're going to be able to use words to describe.
Without saying the word.
Yeah,
okay, got it.
Word.
Yeah, I've played that before. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to play, I feel like we could play probably, we're a little tight on time, but I'm going to try and play like two rounds.
Uh-huh.
It's a little tight.
Okay.
And the person with the fewest correct guesses at the end loses. And here's the kicker. Loser has to take on the Red Hot Reaper Chip Challenge. That's right. That's a Carolina Reaper Chip. Actually, it's got Trinidad Scorpion in it, too. One bite and you'll wish you never lost. So
okay.
That's this bad boy right here. You need gloves. They give you actual gloves. To handle the chip because it's that intense.
Okay.
But here's what we're going to do. If you lose, I'll split the chip with you.
Wow,
to be
you
a
just
want to
suffer, okay?
I don't want to suffer, but I'll do it for the baby bees.
Okay.
And I'll be a good sport. And I know that you're, you know, from Germany and you're not
That's
really
true.
Used to the hot chili
peppers.
No,
we have no spicy food now.
Yeah. So, all right, let's play this game.
Okay.
I'll try and do as many as I can in 60 seconds before
okay.
the timer runs out.
Okay.
And Eric is going to be counting how many cards.
Sounds good.
Okay, so I think the hourglass is done. All right, so.
I start?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay, this is the person that you sit down with and then they tell you. Okay, they tell you the thing like what you get at a Chinese restaurant. The little crunchy thing.
Oh, the fortune teller.
Uh-huh, exactly. Yep, okay. Yeah,
okay.
Very good. Okay, if you're gluten-free and you want to eat the most famous Italian dish that you can spin, what are some
okay,
options?
Okay, pizza, pizza.
Mm-hmm. What are
and
some options for that?
Gluten-free,
mm-hmm.
Okay, is there almond flour? There's cauliflower. Mm-hmm. There's cauliflower. Cauliflower pizza.
That's right.
Okay, okay,
right.
okay.
There you go. Okay, thanks. Okay, what every... Okay, the one thing that every American college student is addicted to and every software coder in San Francisco.
Addicted to?
Mm-hmm. It's the thing that makes you more focused.
Oh my God. Oh, it makes you more focused. Okay, is it a drug?
Yeah.
Adderall?
Yes.
Okay, we got it. Okay, we got
yeah,
it. We got it.
Okay.
Oh, I think we're all out of time. Okay, that was three points.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, okay, okay. So.
Okay, you ready?
Ready.
3, 2, 1.
Okay, this is like a nightmare phone person that calls you. That
the
won't
scream.
Stop, that won't. No, no, no. Won't stop calling you.
A
sell
stalker.
You something.
A stalker.
No, they're trying to sell you something and they won't stop calling
you. A telemarketer.
You. Telemarketer. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. The guy that stands outside of a nightclub.
Bouncer.
Yeah.
Okay, that was before.
That was me. I think something needed to give people like two words because yeah. you describe it. Okay. Someone who gets into your computer.
A hacker.
Yes. Okay. Someone who follows you and gets paid to.
Hitman.
No.
Assassin.
No.
Detective.
Close.
Big Pikachu. Who gets paid to follow you? Like a follower?
No. You're close with the detective one. You're close.
Yeah, a private investigator.
Yes, you got
okay.
that one.
I mean, okay,
okay
that's
we just ran out of time.
Okay.
Oh my God. I'm scared. Okay, you got four cards. Okay, your turn. I meant my turn. But you get the
oh,
to
oh,
pick
same.
Up the
okay,
card.
Yeah, yeah, all right. Okay.
I know it's so confusing.
Thanks. Okay, the one thing that really the best investment in the last 5 years. What blew up more than any stock?
Is it crypto?
Yeah.
Oh, Bitcoin.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Okay. Oh, this is too racist. I'm not gonna use that. Okay. When you work out at the gym too much and then you go into a subway and then you smell bad, what's that called? What do you have?
Oh, BO, body odor.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. This is the most common thing people inject themselves with in Los Angeles.
What?
Especially actors.
Is it steroids?
No, in the face.
Oh, okay. Botox.
Yes,
Botox.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Okay, the place where the UFOs landed. Oh no, the place where the what's the place in Nevada?
Oh, Area 51.
Yes, exactly. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, and then the most famous American fast food restaurant.
All of the time, I think.
McDonald's. Never mind. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, last round, right?
Last round.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, people who follow celebrities around.
Paparazzi.
Yes. The King Kong's nemesis.
King Kong's Godzilla.
Yes. Spider-Man guy.
Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire?
No, the latest one.
The Spider-Man guy? The actor, Tom Holland?
Yes.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man guy. You know that one. I came in on a wrecking ball.
Was that Miley Cyrus?
Yes.
Really? Okay. I was Katy Perry, man.
Oh, professional TV spy movie guy.
Spy movie guy. A spy, I don't know. Matt Damon.
No, it's the character. Oh, all out of time.
What was it though? I want to know.
James Bond.
James Bond. Spy. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Was,
I'm pretty bad with movies, by the way. But that was not bad.
That wasn't bad. Yeah, yeah. All right, let's do a final count. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 7. No.
Yeah.
No, I. Hang on. I'm gonna count that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So wait, that means I won?
Wait. No. Yeah, you won.
I won?
No!
Well, but I will also say it's funny because you were actually pretty good at also giving me the suggestions. You know what I'm saying? All right.
I don't want to.
This is
going to
be
it.
Great. I feel like you won it though, because you were like, isn't there some Trinidad Scorpio in there, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have my glovey here. I'm actually so scared. I haven't even taste tested this one yet.
This might be the last episode.
My heart's like racing right now.
You've never done this before?
No, I've never done this chip
it's
before.
It's just one chip.
It's you know, one I low chip key, of death.
You know what? Just give me one tiny... Can you break a tiny little bite? I'll try a tiny bite.
Okay, you just break off a piece because I don't want to get it on my...
But I can't touch it, right?
Oh, yeah. We only have one glove. Okay, let me just break it off. There.
Can I even touch it?
Oh. Do you want to just... You're going to use your shirt.
Okay. God.
Oh, all God. Right. I'm so terrified. My heart's like racing.
Is it that bad?
I'm so scared.
They're bringing us milk and stuff like that. All right, let's just do it. Because okay. You have a way bigger piece because you lost. But
the chip challenge, Carolina Reaper and Trinidad Scorpion. You guys can get this in the description bar below on Amazon. And Eric's so kind that he's actually offering some, offering Mario some nice. Almond milk.
This is my lunch. It's just like a Reaper chip and almond milk. All right. Cheers. Mm.
Oh, she's hot.
Mm.
The chip is hard.
This is one of the worst chips in my life, by the way.
Ew.
The chip has a consistency of like a... It's like a sponge. It tastes like...
Ooh.
Cardboard.
Ooh.
Ooh. Eat the whole thing. Put it in. Eat the whole... I should have swallowed it.
It gets hotter. I don't know if I can eat the whole thing.
That shit starts off...
I'm getting the hiccups.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. I'm getting the hiccups. Ooh. The body doesn't like that.
That'd be horrible. It'd be horrible on hot ones.
Did you drink some almond milk?
Really?
Woo! Oh my God, it's getting hotter. Oh!
It's nothing. It's no problem.
Oh. It's like my whole body is having a reaction because it's like, get this shit up now. Oh!
The almond milk helps. It's sweet though.
There's no way I'm eating the rest of this. There's no way. I'm cheating my way out of this one. Woo!
It's not bad at all. No problem at all. Oh, wow.
Actually,
it burns the entire bottom of...
of the throat and the mouth.
The hiccups are hilarious. I'm crying.
I've never actually had that. Like, I never had the hiccups before like this. I don't know. I feel like I have to eat the rest of this chip. I have to.
Oh, my God. I do not envy
it. It hurts, though. But you know what?
The entire bottom of my jaw is painful.
You know what?
I have big, big regrets of coming on this podcast.
No, don't say that! Because I'm dying too!
Unsubscribe.
No, don't.
This is horrible. Woo! Look at Eric smiling, this man.
Does anyone want the other quarter? Does anyone want it?
It doesn't get better.
Maybe I'll eat it. Oh, wait.
I thought I was going to have to act to like...
Hey, the rest of it. I did it, you guys. Quickly. Next year before we run out of time. And before my head explodes. Do some German swear words. German swear words.
All right, I prepared.
And I had to guess in English.
By the way, coughing makes it worse. It hurts me more.
It gets worse.
All right, I'm going to tell you some German swear words. So these are German swear words. And you're going to guess which one these what these swear words mean. All right. You ready? First German swear word is the word Sitzpinkler.
Sitzpinkler.
Yeah, what do you think it means? Sitzpinkler.
You sissy bitch.
Mm. Oh. I'm going to give you a tip. It has something to do with peeing.
Huh?
It has something to do with peeing. Sitzpinkler.
Oh, you get a tiny penis.
Yes, exactly. That's right. No.
Ow, it actually hurts. Ow.
More specific than that. It means somebody who, you know, some people, there's like different ways you can pee, right? You can stand up or you can sit down. So a Sitzpinkler is an insult for somebody who sits down when they pee.
I'm getting scared right now because it's becoming really painful. Yeah. I'm actually really scared.
Well, you came up with this, okay? So
I am the master. You're the one responsible. Demise.
I'm actually glad I used my shirt to eat it because I just touched my nose. I think this will be bad.
So someone who sits down when they pee. A girl?
No, it's called... So Sitzpinkler is an insult for somebody who sits down when they pee. It means somebody sits down when they pee. Mm. It's an insult. So if you go, somebody's like, you know, a loser who's like, you know, not a real man. We go, hey, du Sitzpinkler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah? Okay. Go back to your hometown. Go back to Eibisbach im Hochschwarzwald. Du Sitzpinkler.
I got it stuck in my molar right now, so I'm kind of going through something at the moment.
Yeah.
I feel like I got, like, the shakes. Like, I can't... Whew! Okay. Sit down.
You know how you
pee.
Say people trauma...
Copy that.
You know how people trauma bond when they go, like, to war together or something like that? I think that's what happened to us just now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is a bond that can't be broken.
Woo, pain is a big trauma bond.
This was not unintense, you know. This was a... Especially breathing makes it worse. When you breathe, it feels like
First, it feels like it makes it better, then it makes it worse.
It makes it worse, yeah.
Okay, so give me the next one.
All right, the next swear word we have is called a Backpfeifengesicht. One of my favorites.
A Backpfeifengesicht.
A Backpfeifengesicht.
Okay.
Uh-huh. What could that mean?
I don't know. A Backpfeifengesicht.
Did you have a stroke just now?
Yeah, I feel like my head is light. Like, I feel like I'm somewhere else in my mind.
Yeah, I'm glad we did this towards the end of the episode.
Okay.
Backpfeifengesicht. So I'm going to give you a tip, okay? Gesicht means face. So Backpfeifengesicht.
Oh.
It's more like a person, right? A Backpfeifengesicht is a noun that describes a person.
Okay.
But it's a very specific type of person. It's like, okay.
Ooh.
So some people would, for example, some people would say, when you look at somebody, you're like, hey, this person looks a certain way.
Like a punchable face.
Yes!
Oh, yes! I got it!
Oh my God!
Oh my God! A punchable face. Okay.
Oh my God, that's so crazy. Because Backpfeife, a Backe means cheek, Pfeife means whistle, okay? Which is when you give somebody a slap so hard it whistles. And a Backpfeifengesicht is a face that deserves to be slapped. Yeah, so
okay.
we have a word for that. We have a word for that in Germany, yeah?
That's when so go, good.
Hey, du Backpfeifengesicht, which means, hey, you look stupid. Your face deserves to be slapped. Okay.
And then one last one.
This one is very German, okay? This one is called Schattenparker. Schattenparker.
Oh, shut the f*** up.
No, it's also, it describes a person, right? all the German insults are very specific to something Germans don't like.
Okay.
Okay, so it's like Schattenparker. I'm going to give you a tip. It has something to do with a car.
A car?
With parking your car. It's a person who parks their car in a certain way.
Oh, is it like a traffic insult? Like you can't park your car?
No, think of like heat. Think of heat in this. This is very hard to guess. But think of heat, like in the summertime, you don't want to park your car in the sun, right? So there's somebody called a Schattenparker. And where do they park their car?
They park it in the sun? Or they park it not in the sun?
Not in the sun, in the shade.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I feel like I can't think right now. I feel so disoriented because...
No, but these are also very German. So you got to think like a German. You got to think like a degenerate German.
Very practical.
German. Like a German... Like a German...
I'm so sorry.
Like a German... So a Schattenparker is somebody who parks their car in the shade. You know?
Isn't because, that a good thing?
Yeah, but it means that you're a little coward because you're like, hey, hey, you're parking your car in the shade because, oh, it's too hot for you because we Germans were all about doing tough things in life. Germans would love this challenge, by the way, because we love tough things in life.
Yeah.
You know? We're like, hey, we deserve to suffer. We did a lot of bad things in the world. So we're like, hey, we're going to park in the sun because we deserve to suffer.
Oh,
if you park
God.
In the shade, then you're a little sissy. You know,
he
you
thought of like
you can't
every
handle
little insult.
The sun. It is a real insult that Germans say, and it's very specific to Germans. Yeah.
Wow.
We're obsessed with parking too. And if you park, Falschpark is another one, which means you park incorrectly, which is also a bad thing.
Yeah. You're probably some of the world's best drivers. Okay, so we're all out of time. I'm really sorry, Mario. But before we wrap up, you're going on tour. Mm-hmm. Let's tell the baby bees where to find you on social media, what shows to watch.
All right.
We owe it to you. I owe it to you.
All right, baby bees. You can find me on Mario Adrian on Instagram, and my links are all there. Like MarioAdrian.com is my website. There's my merch. There's my tour dates. I'm coming all over the US and then soon Europe, and I'm doing Dubai. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. So we're going worldwide to see me live.
Yes!
Yeah.
Okay, let me... friendship bracelet because I almost forgot because like I'm so disoriented.
I love this show. This is such a sweet show. By the way, it's so wholesome. I love this.
Pick one. Which one you like?
This one. This looks almost
the force green. It's giving Jamaican.
Yeah, it's like the red, the black. I like it.
Yes, reggae. Yeah, man, Jamaica man. So good. All right, thank you so much, Mario.
Thank you.
I would love to have you back, and I will not make you eat a spicy chip.
Yes,
and
that was, yep. But, you know, I feel like we bonded now.
Yes, we've been through it. We've been through the trenches.
And now to wrap it up one more time, what's my hometown?
Aschbrabaschbrabachbach.
Look it up.
Yeah, you got it. Hey, my baby bees. Thank you so much for watching this episode of Bees Celebrity Truth or Dare. We had so much fun hanging out with you today. If you had as much fun as we did, please like, comment, subscribe, hit that bell icon so you never have to miss another episode. We've got more fun episodes coming your way. See you in the next one.
Oh, cool. Let's do Dare.